Are you a fan of pro wrestling, comedy, and combat sports? Then we have the podcast for you, because we cover that and much, much more.
Do you like to debate with your friends? Do we have the perfect segment for you? It's the 531, where we take any given subject, break it down to a top five. From there, we debate it down to three, and then into that number one spot.
If you want to get a hold of us, find us on our social media. Search Working Fans Podcast on any major social media platform. And if you want to find the podcast, search for us on any major podcast platform, as well as YouTube.
Working Fans Podcast. We put in the work so you don't have to.
All right, everybody. It's the Combat Cast. The man they call Dave Chevarooney. And we're coming off the heels of UFC 300. And Chevy, why don't you tell people about our sponsor first?
All right. We'd like to thank Game Up for supporting the podcast. They make a thirst-quenching adult beverage with a special blend of electrolytes, a hard hydration drink. Comes in four flavors currently: fruit punch, orange, lemon lime, and grape.
That's right. And it's a low carb, 100 and only 110 calories. So get yourself some Game Up. And Chevy, let's tell people what we got coming up.
All right, April 27th, UFC fight night, Nicolau versus Perez. Not a lot to say about that currently, nope. But May 4th, UFC 301, Pantoja versus Usyk. The great Jose Aldo is on that card, so looking forward to that. Pereira trying to be on that card too, maybe, but yes, we'll talk about that. And then May 11th, UFC fight night, Lewis versus Nascimento. So Derek Lewis back at it with a young Brazilian.
Yeah, so there is some cards ahead. That Brazilian card could end up being more excited than it looks right now. A lot of that will depend on what we end up seeing. But let's get to it. UFC 300. It was definitely one of the best cards I think that we had ever seen. I'm not going to say it's the greatest card of all time, but it definitely was, no doubt, just a tremendous card when you look at it from top to bottom. Let's talk. I mean, do you want to just kind of mention some of these other fights? Just go.
Yeah, we can go right through them quickly if you want. So yeah. Davidson Figueiredo got a second round submission over Cody Garbrandt. Cody was looking pretty good. He had the speed advantage for sure. But once Figueiredo realized that, he took him down, and Cody's a wrestler, so not great off his back. So yeah. He tried to fight out. He did fight out of an arm triangle that he was head and arm choke that was pretty tight, but on his way up, he gave up his back and Davidson snatched on there. So good for Davidson. First win in bantamweight. He moves on.
Yeah, and I'm just going to give quick potential opponents for all these people too, because I think there's so many great potential fights in the future. Davidson is rolling. At this point, I would get him a big fight at bantamweight, and I think Marlo Chito Vera would be perfect because he just lost a huge fight, big name. Hey, let's see if Davidson can beat Marlon. If he can't, that's okay. Great win for Marlon. So I like that one.
I think that's a big jump. You know who I'd like to see him go against? Maybe a Dominic Cruz. Damn. I don't know if Cruz wants to do that at this point in his career, but he is always talking about how you can't always fight up. So yeah, that might be a good matchup. I'd like to see his footwork against the power of Figueiredo. So.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's move on to the next fight. Bobby Green gets a unanimous decision over Jim Miller. Jim Miller's eye was absolutely demolished. Bobby just way too quick in there for him, too slick. Jim never gave up. He was always coming forward, but he really couldn't land on Bobby.
Yeah, yeah. Jim looked all right in the first round, had moments where he was in it, but definitely Bobby really turned it on by the end of the first round. And never really looked back. I thought Bobby Green was just very impressive here. And no disrespect to Jim, I just felt like Bobby showed he's at a different level in his career right now. And happy for Bobby. And as far as him, his next fight, he called it, Paddy Pimblett. And great call it was. And that's definitely the fight I'd like to see.
Yeah, for sure. But I guess Paddy said something about Bobby Green. I don't know what he said, but we can't be doing that. So he's going to learn today, you know? All right, let's move on. Women's strawweight bout, Jessica Andrade versus Marina Rodriguez. Split decision for Andrade.
Yeah, Andrade got the win. There's not really a lot to say. This is one of those fights that wasn't very memorable. And as far as her next opponent, I don't even have one. I'm not sure because Andrade is in this weird position where she's kind of lost to some of the key players, but beat a lot of the people around her. So I don't really know what you do.
Yeah, it's tough. And she's fought everyone at all three weight divisions that she... So it's tough. I get that. So move on to the featured bout on the early prelims. Jalen Turner versus Hanato Moicano. Moicano ends up with a second round TKO.
And this is probably most famous for Jalen really kind of just blowing it because he had a chance, rocked Moicano, and then walked away like a walkaway KO. It was not. And Moicano came back in round two, got it done. As far as the next opponent, we're talking lightweight. I think moving up that ladder, a guy who's had some tough luck recently, but is still a name in his division, Beneil Dariush.
Oh, yeah, that'd be good. Good fun on the ground for sure. Hmm. All right, getting into the regular prelims, Sadiq Youssef versus Diego Lopez. Diego Lopez comes out with another fantastic first-round finish. Looked absolutely great.
I'm sure he got taken care of, but if this was on any other show, this guy would have been guaranteed a bonus. Phenomenal performance. As far as next fight goes, Sadiq was a great one. I'd like to see him go up against Edson Barboza, who's actually a little bit ahead in the rankings, a bigger name, but also a little bit older. So I think it's just a logical step for him.
Yeah, that's a good progression for sure. All right. Holly Holm versus Kayla Harrison. Kayla was able to get the second round submission.
Kayla looks strong. She looked really strong as a weight class. No surprise there. As long as she continues to make weight, she's going to be a problem for anybody. Amanda Nunes has always shown interest if Kayla can win this title in the next year. I'd say knowing that, I'd try to fast track her. I got one or two fights. For me, it's either Caitlin Vera, who is right up there in the top two, three, four, wherever she's ranked. And you could do that one. She could win that and then meet the winner of Juliana versus Raquel Pennington. All right. And if you don't want to do that just yet and you want to have a fun fight, there's a name out there named Misha Tate. That's a quality name. You could do that as well.
Did you see Amanda's Instagram post where she was showing herself and the TV, and it was Kayla doing her post-fight speech, and Amanda was just pointing at her ear waiting for the call out, and it never came. She was a little bit disappointed, I think. But in the future, if Kayla can continue to make that weight, that would definitely breathe some life back into women's MMA for sure.
Well, Nina, you taking everything I work for.
Yeah, exactly. Right. All right. Featherweight bout. Calvin Kattar loses a decision to Aljo on Aljo's first venture up to featherweight.
Other than a power bomb that potentially happened at one point, like this was not a very fun fight, not stylistically very exciting, but probably what Sterling needed to do in his first fight at featherweight against a quality opponent. He wrestled him, he got him down, and he got the win. So I'd say good for him. Give him a pass on this first fight stylistically. Let him get his feet wet and see how he does. The other thing is, too, another thing, too, for Sterling to do this, I mean, he probably saw, he would have loved a $300,000 bonus, but he knew the murderers on there, and that wasn't going to happen. So you got the win. I'll tell you what, you want to get an interesting fight with Sterling right now? This guy is so great at wrestling. Throwing Brian Ortega, throwing a guy that can put a slick submission on you right there. If Ortega's not fighting for the title next, which we don't know if he is because we don't know what's going on with Max. We'll talk about that later. Ortega could be a great fight for Sterling.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty big jump for him, but he is a former champion, so it's possible. Also, I don't think Dana was too happy with that performance. And Brian's probably a pretty tough opponent for him, so... You know, that's very possible that he gets thrown to the wolves next. So, all right. Featured bout on the prelims. One of the best fights on the card. One of the best fights of the year. Yuri Prochazka versus Alexander Rakic.
This fight would have also been fight of the night if it wasn't for another fight later on this card. That being said, it was still enough for Prochazka to get a bonus. Prochazka hit. So, actually, I would say... Alex looked good until he didn't, right? He was working Prochazka early on, but then Prochazka, that unorthodox style, kept putting the pressure on, and eventually he He got the results he wanted. He got the finish. As far as another fight for Prochaska goes, to me, it's got to be one of two things here. He could always do a rematch with Pereira, depending on what Pereira is going to do next. Or, you know, if Pereira is not going to fight this guy, here's another guy, Magomed Ankalaev, right? Now, I think Ankalaev could end up getting a title shot, but if it's not one of those two fights, Prochaska is almost probably better just waiting right now, you know?
But. Yeah, I'm with you on that. He's kind of, because he just lost the title shot, he's kind of in a weird spot. Mm-hmm. Looked great, though. Second round KO, by the way. I forgot to say.
Let's get this main card.
Yeah. All right. Main card started off with Bo Nickel getting a unsurprising second round submission against Cody Brundage.
Bo Nickel, great performance. He was very disappointed because he's a supreme athlete. That can be looked at as two ways, by the way. He could be putting too much pressure on himself and it could be difficult, or he's putting just the right amount of pressure on himself because that's how he gets to where he is. We'll see. But I, really, too, as far as the performance goes, for anyone who didn't see it, it was a second round submission. Brundage just, he got out of some predicaments early on. He just didn't get wasted like everybody else. But in the end, Bo was still superior almost everywhere. So to me, nothing wrong here. I can't really pick another fight for this guy right now at this point in his career other than keep doing what you're doing. Try to find another guy like a Cody Brundage that's going to maybe keep him going up to this upward trajectory here.
Yeah, I think he saw, you know, some of Khamzat's finishes early on, and he wanted to be like that, where he just blows through everyone. I did see Khamzat was not impressed with Cody with Bo's wrestling. So, I mean, I'm sure that's a fight that we'll see in the future if Khamzat ever fights. I don't know. I never feel like he's going to fight, but we'll see. Yeah, progression for Bo Nickel, but he is still human, we saw, so. We'll move on. Lightweight bout. Charles Oliveira loses a split decision to Armin Sarukian.
Yeah, I don't think this was split. I like Charles. Charles definitely, I felt, had him in that first round, although I can see where some people didn't, but I thought Charles was so close to getting him to either pass out or tap out. Like, it was really tight guillotine choke. But afterwards, Armin really was able to kind of figure Charles out a little bit. You know, like, he was good into scrambles. He was able to avoid getting submitted, and he was better on the feet overall. Armin and Islam really both, I feel like, have shown they know how to neutralize Charles Oliveira, which did not look like a possibility. So that just shows you what a problem Armin is. And Armin really probably should get a title shot. We know Dustin Poirier is going to get one now. We'll talk about that later in the show. So as far as he goes, he should either maybe wait and fight the winner of Dustin Islam if it's a possibility. If it's not, I mean, Justin Gaethje's right there.
Yeah, I would assume, and we'll talk about this later, even though this fight is not at 155, the winner of Connor and Chandler will get the next title shot versus whoever wins Poirier or Islam. So
Justin Gaethje's right there.
Yeah.
So you might want to start. And Justin, you lost, so now you have to look at it too, and Justin knows that, so this might be the fight to take.
Yeah, so, but Armin looked great. He did what I thought he was going to do. Charles was close to catching him. He had that guillotine early, and the fact that Armin was able to get out of that, it was very early in the fight when both guys are still dry and everything. It was very tight. I thought it was over. Great job getting out. And then he got caught in that darce at the end, but good defense to just lay flat so Charles couldn't put the pressure on his neck. So, and he couldn't collect his legs to fold him over. So he did the right things. He was caught in submissions, which we haven't really seen Islam done yet. So Armin still very young. So I believe he still has a bit of growing to do. He hasn't reached his peak, but he's still given Islam his toughest fight so far. So I want to see him fight again.
Mm-hmm.
All right, fight of the night, fight of the year, fight maybe one of the best performances I've ever seen. Justin Gaethje gets KO'd in the last second of the fight by a Max Holloway, the new BMF champion.
Yeah. Yeah, what was it? He said, I want to call it Blessed Man Forever Belt now.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
So Max looked phenomenal. We talked about this, you know, we really, you know, we talked about on this channel, we really started to really think the more about as we got close to this fight, that this was going to be Max's night. And part of it was that amazing chin that he has. And I think that was showcased somewhat here, you know, Justin, just, but even more than that, it was just the speed, you know, Max had that speed where Justin was really loading up. And there was a point where Justin knocked him down. I don't think it was ruled a knockdown, actually.
No, it wasn't ruled a knockdown, but it certainly looked like a knockdown to me.
Even Max said, he says, good on him if he got it. I don't know if they did, but good on him if they got it. So, yeah, so Justin, you know, and he had some bad stuff. Really, Max had got him early, then accidentally got a couple eye pokes, too. So Justin was really struggling, but you know, take nothing away from the performance of Max here. Other than that round four, he was just, you know, constant volume, getting in and out. He ate some leg kicks, which is a concern. I don't think we talked about too much in this channel, but me and Chevy talked off air about it as we got closer, like we kind of missed that, and he certainly did, but it was not enough to really stop him. Overall, again, what a performance. He did enough to get the win, but then the last 10 seconds, what everybody's talking about, he does one of these, right, which he's done before with Ricardo Lamas.
And he's maybe pointing down at the center of the cage, giving Justin Gaethje his opportunity, even though he's beat him for four rounds.
Yeah, and they did it out, and boy, Justin, he risked it all, and it did not work. Max laid him out with 1 second remaining.
Bad face plant, too.
Yeah, which ended up being Max now getting two bonuses instead, because it would have probably just been fight of the night. And who knows? It might not have been fight of the night because the other one was so good, but that, I think that made it fight of the night and the performance of the night. So good on Max. He gets the double bonus, but beyond that, too, he's now elevated what was already a superstar career to another level, and he's put himself in a great position here, because when we talk about next fights, this guy can fight Ilya now at featherweight, which I think is probably what we're going to do, since we have Islam and Dustin, but he could also fight the winner of Islam and Dustin. And, you know, like, again, and then you have Connor possibly in the background. If Connor beats Chandler, right, we'll talk about it later, Max and Connor could be a fight for the BMF title. Like, Max has put himself in a golden, golden position here. Good on him.
Yeah, I'm still, days later, really at a loss for words. You know, we did our live show, so if you want to see the reaction, you can go back and check out the reactions. But it was still at a bit of a loss of words. It was just very impressive. Couldn't have happened to a better guy. You know, he believed in himself the whole time, and now he's made other people believe too. So glad that he's getting this opportunity. He can go wherever he wants from here now. Lots of options.
Yeah, and all these fights are going to be tough ones for him, even Dustin, because if you think Justin's leg kicks, you know, were a problem, Dustin's going to be a real problem with leg kicks. But, you know, that's just if Dustin pulls off the upset. But Islam, obviously, the wrestling would be a nightmare. Ilya, might, like you said, might wrestle. Plus, he's got a lot of speed himself there. He might be the quickest out of all the guys he could fight. There's always the featherweight weight cut, which Max has made plenty of times, but might like lightweight. Connor would be, I think, probably the most exciting fight for him, because he would make a ton of money if Connor beat Chandler, and it'd be a lot of it. But stylistically, they're going to just trade.
Right. So I think
this would be a big difference in that fight they had, you know, like almost a decade ago or whatever it was. But in the end of the day, too, even though some of these fights are going to be tough, just like with Justin, like we said, this is the kind of guy he can win. He's got great wrestling, takedown defense, and he's one of the best strikers of all time.
Also, it has gone unnoticed, I think, but his corner did a great job preparing him for this, or, you know, he did great job watching tape, because he knew every time that Justin would shell up and lean over to one side, and that's when he would angle off and land shots. Or that's also how he landed that spinning back kick that shattered Justin's nose at the end of the first round. So I don't think people talk enough about his fight IQ, but I think that was a big part of this win for him, you know. And then obviously the guy is crazy and worthy of the BMF belt, and he throws the game plan out the window at the end and points to the center of the octagon.
Yeah, no doubt.
All right, let's move on. Strawweight title. Zhang Weili retains her belt against Yan Zhao Nan.
Yeah, Zhang Weili really had this won in the first round. Choked out Yan as the bell rang and was choked out. Like, Yan was staggering to her corner. You definitely could have called it here. I think there's an argument to be made. They could have called it. That being said, Yan would come back, get herself in more trouble, but then eventually, I think, take like one of the later rounds.
Round three, yeah.
Yeah, round three or four, I was going to say. So, yeah, so she, you know, she was tough. And man, this fight, if it had anything going against it, it just came off that crazy, crazy fight that just happened. I think Dana White said it best. There was an adrenaline dump, and unfortunate for them because a lot of eyes on them. They're trending in China, which is very, you know, difficult to do, I understand. People were talking to the press conference. They had reporters from China there, and they were very interested in what's going to be next. And, hey, great on Weili Zhang. She gets to win. I think maybe Tatalina Suarez could be next. Let's looking at the rankings, because I don't think I think Weili's still got to beat more people. But if she keeps doing this, eventually Weili's probably going to be looking at maybe going up and trying to be a double champ, because she's on that way right now.
Yeah, it was a good fight. But like you said, just placement on the card, unfortunate for them. You know, they had to follow Max and Justin. So good performance, showcased some grappling. Yan did better on the ground than I thought that she would. I thought that Weili had multiple opportunities to finish it, and she probably should have, but good performance. All right, let's move on to the light heavyweight title bout. Alex Pereira KOs Jamal Hill in the first round.
Unbelievable. Another unbelievable performance here. I thought Pereira, you know, could catch him. And I thought Pereira might find a way to win. I also thought Jamal Hill could present problems for him. But just the ultimate gangster move, you know, where Herb goes to stop the fight for a minute because Pereira just got low blowed. And he's just like, stop. And stops Herb Dean, sends him away. And then literally in the next couple seconds, lays out Jamal. What I'm so impressed here is the laser focus to see Herb Dean out of your peripheral. Stop him. I know what I'm doing.
And he never took his eyes off of Jamal either. Never
took his eyes off Jamal and then lays him out. That is a superior striker right there. And really, really nasty power. They talked about it on the broadcast afterwards, how his hands are so big and the kind of power that
he broke Ngannou's record on the punch cube.
Yeah.
Whatever. So
just crazy, crazy power. He's a problem. He's a problem for people. You know, but he's still very young in this game, but he's already an all-timer at MMA, right? He's a Hall of Famer at this point. Like, there's no reason. Two championships, two weight classes, main evented UFC 300, and one in a first round knockout. Like, this man is something else. He's already put together a hell of a career, and he has interest at heavyweight and fighting on the Brazil card. He mentioned Tom Aspinall. Obviously it won't be Jones, but man, I don't know if they'll do that, because Dana talked in the press conference that, you know, I think he ought to stay in his division. He says, you know, because he's knocking people out here. These heavyweights are tough. That sounds like Dana, unless he's downplaying it. But, I mean, wow. You talk about, we have UFC 302 and 303 coming up with big main events now. And I think 301 is lacking a little bit. But if you put Tom Aspinall on there defending the interim heavyweight championship against the light heavyweight champion Alex Pereira, I'm sold. Like, that makes me excited about this card. And again, it's the interim title. I'm not against Alex doing it because he's such a special kind of fighter for what he's doing. That being said, if he's going to stick around, I think Ankalaev is the rightful number one contender right now. Also the worst matchup. That's not to say that Tom's a horrible matchup too, but with Tom, the prize is a lot sweeter. The risk,
right? There's nothing to lose when you're going up out of your division. You know, you're striving for greatness. So, I think it's worth the loss because you can always come back and try to defend that light heavyweight belt.
Yeah.
And Tom looked like he wanted it. You know, there's the picture that he posted, and in the foreground is Alex getting, you know, the Vaseline rubbed on him. Tom is looking at him hungry, ready to go. So,
and I'll just throw this out there too, Sherry, before we get back to it. It's just one other thing. There is a big, I believe it's a pay-per-view coming up in Manchester too this year. They haven't put the card together. We feel like it's going to be Patty Pimblett and Bobby Green. You could do that down there. If Jones and Stipe are going to fight later, you could always do Alex Pereira and Tom Aspinall in the UK as well. And that would be big as well. So, you know, even though they're not talking about doing that fight right now, there's a couple different options here.
Enough buzz and Dan will be talking about it. So,
yeah, I'd love to see it in Brazil. But
yeah, I don't think that's going to happen just because there's not enough time to promote that really the way that they would want to, because that is such a big fight. So,
yeah.
It was overall though, thoughts on the card?
Yeah, overall, one of the best cards of all time. I won't say the best. I always hesitate. I'd have to go back and look, but certainly going to be in the top three, top four.
Right. Maybe not the best, like, marquee fight. That BMF title fight is up there, but I obviously am very biased. But I think overall, top to bottom, the depth of the card, so many former and current champions, legends, that's definitely up there for me. Top three, probably.
All right. Well, phenomenal UFC 300. We move forward. And real quick, this weekend, the PFL has a card coming up. We are not going to donate a lot of time to this today because we talk so much about 300 and we have a couple other news notes. But Chevy, just real quick, some fights that are going to be on this card.
Yeah, so my favorite PFL fighter, Brennan Lochnane, he's fighting Pedro Carvalho, who recently just lost to Aaron Pico. Pedro's a submission and decision guy, so I expect Brennan to get a KO. And I think that Brennan did some training at SBG, which is where Pedro trains, Connor's gym. Okay. So I wonder if they've crossed paths at all, and I wonder if that'll, you know, influence the fight, but shout out to Brennan Lochnane. Hope he gets the win.
Yeah.
And then also on the card, we would be remiss if we did not mention Brennan Ward, local to us fighter, knockout artist for sure. He's fighting Don Madge, who has been in the UFC, been in Bellator, or I'm sorry, been in PFL. I have to pick Ward by KO in round two because that's always how he gets his work done. So I'm picking him there.
Yeah, he's an exciting fighter. If you've never seen him, go back and look at some of his work in Bellator. He has always had some of the best fights and gets into some wild, wild brawls. And he's definitely one of those must-see exciting fighters.
He's sure. Dedicated to being exciting, similar to Justin Gaethje. He has wrestling pedigree and refuses to use it because that's boring to the fans. So,
yeah.
So. Shout out to Brennan Ward.
So PFL this weekend, is it Saturday?
Friday.
Okay, so Friday. All right, so April 19th. So Friday, April 19th, guys, check that out. All right, some other news and notes before we get out of here. Let's talk about this first. Conor McGregor versus Michael Chandler. There was some rumors there was going to be a big announcement. And there was going to be a way to do it. Dana said that was internet bullshit. I think Dana probably was saying that to a point, but the reality was the fight getting done was not internet bullshit. That was a real possibility, and it happened. It was announced, and
it's announced for UFC 303 International Fight Week, June 29th.
June 29th, International Fight Week. Kind of what Conor had said a while back, and that was what it was going to be. So. You know, good on Conor in some ways, because like all the bullshit that this guy does and he gets into all kinds of trouble and he's really kind of turned off us and a lot of his fans over the years. And he teases a lot of stuff. When he did say there was a fight coming, when he actually says a date and a venue, he's kind of always been on with that. And Dana has said in the past that when it comes to actually doing business with Conor for a fight, it's actually not very difficult. It's just that he has so much stuff. It's getting to the part where they can actually.
Right.
So that being said, all that bullshit aside, this guy hasn't fought in a couple years now, right? And then the last time he fought, he got a bad injury. And the time before that, he got stopped too by Dustin Poirier last two times. And then before that, like, you know, he got choked out by Khabib. So first off, I'll play a little devil's advocate here because, you know, the Conor haters and, you know, I'm, again, not really a fan of this guy, but I try to look at things very honestly. Those are very tough opponents, right? Those are very tough opponents. Dustin Poirier and Khabib. Khabib retired undefeated. Poirier is still one of the best in this world. He's fighting for a title. We're going to talk about that soon. But the inactivity is what I find very concerning here. You know, it's just so much inactivity. That being said, he was a special kind of fighter, a special kind of athlete on his way up. He's got a lot of money and a lot of resources. If he wanted to dedicate himself seriously to do this, and you know, there's that X factor that we won't know until we see that night. So I'm excited for the fight. I think stylistically, if it's anything like we've known Conor to be in the past, even if it's just a little bit, we should still have some fun here, but somebody is going to go out early. We'll make a prediction as we get closer, but someone's going out early.
Yeah. I mean, Chandler has also been sitting out for a long time waiting for this fight to happen too. So both guys, you know, probably going to be a little bit rusty. With that being said, Conor is the one that is more used to coming in after these long layoffs. You know, Chandler's been pretty active his career. So the fight is taking place at 170. So up from where both guys normally fight. Don't think it's really a problem for Chandler. I think he walks around in the, you know, 80s or 90s. Obviously, we've seen Conor on all the Mexican supplements looking so, so thick. So now that he's not in the movie and stuff, he's going to be training and I expect him to thin out. So we'll see what he looks like. But I'm excited the fight's happening. If for no other reason that Conor will fight and we can be past it, we can move on. Whether he, I don't know how many fights he has left on his contract, but I'm sure he wants to fight those out as quickly as possible and move on to boxing somebody like Jake Paul or something for an obscene amount of money. So
that's Saudi Arabian money.
Yeah, exactly. So looking forward to it. Again, we're not going to give any predictions and stuff now. It's a long way out, but I'm with you. I think someone's probably going to sleep in that. Chandler has been knocked out a few times now, so Conor is a sniper or was at one point in his career, so we'll see.
And Chandler could definitely be a problem wrestling-wise, but something tells me Chandler's going to just – he's going to seize – he's going to try to win. He's going to try to go out in a blaze of glory, you know, kill or be killed.
Oh, yeah. You know what I didn't like about this is how lackluster the announcement was. Like, they had the opportunity to do it at the press conference, which they didn't do. They could have announced it on the broadcast instead in the post-fight press conference, which nobody watches because we all went to bed. Somebody hands Dana a little crumpled piece of paper and he reads it off there. That is such bullshit and like such an ego thing for Dana.
Great point, Chevy. Great point, because yeah. Oh, it's internet bullshit. We're going to do that. Well, that sucks because that was a much better idea. What you delivered, you know, why did you do that? You know?
Yeah. There's sometimes it's so funny because they're the best at so many promotion things. And then they fumble things like this all the time. And the UFC 300 logo, people are really upset about that because it's just a plain gold flag, but you know, they make a lot of mistakes, but you know, obviously, swings and misses, I guess, but I was upset about that.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk about this one because this is one where you got Dustin Poirier. It was announced Dustin Poirier, that same piece of paper versus Islam Makhachev, but we didn't know this was coming at all. And I was very excited. And it's funny, you could hear people clapping in the press room and everything, like, all right, let's go. And I just thought to myself, it's so funny because we all know that there's probably more deserving contenders right now. That's not to say that Dustin isn't deserving, but he just he got a win, but he did lose to Justin right before that, and Justin has fight. So it's like it's really the timing. But Islam wants to do this fight, and there is nobody who is currently, you know, like Armin just fought, you know. So I can see why they did it. It kind of made sense in a little ways, but I think more than that is we all know Dustin Poirier is just one of the true, true good guys of the sport. And I think we'd like to have him get one shot in here and pull it off.
If yeah, he can. For sure. I did see a thing that Armin's team said that they were offered the fight after after his fight versus Charles, and they declined for whatever reason, too soon or something like that. And then they announced that this Poirier and Islam fight was happening that same night. So, you know, do with that information what you want, whether the fight's really signed or not. I am looking forward to it if it is happening. Obviously, we love Dustin, want him to get a shot. I would love to see him hold the belt. You know, he had an interim belt, but I like to see him hold a real belt, like you said, and get that win and probably go out on that win on his career.
Yeah, that's it. Like, that's what we're all hoping for. We'd like to see him get this win somehow and just have this title on his resume. I mean, if he wants to fight after he wins this title or gets a Conor or somebody like that too, or one more with Justin Gaethje to finish it, or Mac, that's fine too. But yeah, get that title and, you know, one or two more paydays and get out of here. I'd love to see it. That
be also, sorry, go ahead.
Just, we don't know. We just be remiss. It is going to be a very uphill battle. Islam is not only dangerous, he looks like he's getting better every time. So
yeah, I'm excited to see Islam defend his belt against a 155er though, that is similar size to him instead of Volkanovski. So that's looking true. Forward to that.
That's true. All right, let's tell people what we got coming up one more time.
All right, April 27th, UFC Fight Night, Nick Lau versus Perez. Gonna have to check that card out. I don't know one other fight on that card. And then May 4th, UFC 301, Pantoja versus Urseg. And May 11th, UFC Fight Night, Lewis versus Nascimento.
All right, guys, some great fights. Hope you enjoyed UFC 300. And now let's finish it up with a word from our sponsor.
If you haven't tried Game Up, then you are missing out. Imagine your favorite seltzer and your favorite sports drink had a baby. But it's way better than that. Each can is 110 calories, low carb, 4.9 ABV. It's a nice light drink that is not light on flavor. Game Up comes in fruit punch, orange, lemon, lime, and grape. Pick it up at drinkgameup.com or at your nearest liquor store.
All right, so that wraps us up for this week. Thank you again for listening to the Working Fans Podcast. So as always, you can find us on Twitter at Fans Working. Our Facebook page is Working Fans Wrestling Pod. We have email where you can reach out to us and let us know what you think also. That's workingfanswrestlingpod@gmail.com. Follow us on Instagram, workingfanswrestling_pod. And then as always, please continue to listen to us on anchor.fm, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Breaker, Overcast, Pocket Casts, Radio Public, all your major platforms. If you're following us on Apple Podcasts, which we are also on now, and YouTube, please make sure you subscribe and give us a 5-star rating. It helps us bring these